Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're continuing our series on the Psalms of Ascent. Today, we may not be gathered together in our church buildings, but we are still having church because the Bible teaches that wherever two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, He promises to be with us. As we are gathered, we are the church. We are the body of Christ. It is my prayer that we will experience the peace of God during this time of uncertainty, confusion, crisis, shutdown, slowdowns, fear, doubt, anxiety, and panic. Before Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would be betrayed, he said, "I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." John 16:33. Let me read that word again to you. Jesus said, "I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We have trouble in our world today. What are we to do? We're to take heart. Why? Because Jesus has overcome the world. With all the world's wars, famines, earthquakes, fires, hurricanes, and pandemics, Jesus has overcome the world. In the midst of this pandemic, Jesus is our hope and our anchor. Listen again to John in chapter 16, 33. "Jesus has told you these things, so that in Jesus you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, Jesus has overcome the world." That's my translation or paraphrase. Today, I'd ask you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Listen to Matthew's account of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. As I read, close your eyes. Try to hear the story for the first time and enter in. Are you one of the disciples walking beside the Messiah? Or maybe you're the owner of the donkey or colt. Pretend you are a member of the crowd. Maybe you are one of the religious leaders. Before we listen to God's word, let us pray. Messiah, King, Prince of Peace, Lord, Savior, Jesus, blessed are you. We come to hear your word. May it be alive and redemptive in us today. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 21, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, while crowds cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Matthew chapter 21, 1 through 11. As I read and studied and prayed for this message, I found it difficult to narrow this message down. What a wealth of information to apply to our lives today. We could talk about how Jesus knows the future, not only his future, but ours. He told his disciples to go to a certain place in a certain city at a certain time, and they would find a donkey tied there with her colt. And they went, and they found it exactly as he said. Listen, having a Savior who knows the future, his future and ours, well, that's a real comfort to me. Jesus knows that we are locked down. Jesus knows that we are shut down. Jesus knows that we're hunkered down. Some of us are locked up in our fear, our pain, our frustration, our doubts and anxiety. Do you feel as if God has forgotten you? Do you feel that where you are in this life is a huge mistake? A promise we find here is that Jesus knows the future. We can have hope amid our circumstances because Jesus knows the past, Jesus knows the present, and Jesus knows the future. What if you had entered the story as the owner of the donkey and the colt? Maybe a good so what question for us. Would you gladly loan Jesus what you have? Would you give Jesus what you have? What could we talk about the significance of fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah, though? Our king comes to us gentle and riding on a donkey. What kind of king comes riding on a donkey? Is that the kind of king you're looking for? There's a prophecy in the book of Daniel, the coming of the anointed one would come in 77s or 490 years. In the book of Daniel, it's predicted that in 490 years, the anointed one, the Messiah, would come into the city of Jerusalem. Several scholars and historians and mathematicians have worked out the formula given in Daniel, and they have come up with a date being exactly the springs of 30 to 33 AD. Jesus knowing the future and fulfilling the future are amazing thoughts for us to ponder as we prepare our hearts for what God has to say for us. Do you believe that God knows your future? That's a great question. Do you believe that God knows your future? And God will fulfill all the plans that he has for you. Everyone loves Jeremiah 29:11. The prophet says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." The people were taken captive from Jerusalem and held in Babylon for 70 years. I love Jeremiah 29:11, but look at verses 12 through 14. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 14. 6 months ago, the Lord put it on my heart to do a little sermon series based on the Psalms of Ascent. They are the Psalms 120 through 134. These are the psalms the Israelites sang as they journeyed up to Jerusalem for their their big holiday feasts like Passover and Pentecost or the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. So far, if you've been with us, we've looked at Psalm 120, 121, and 125. If this is the first time listening, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship and listen to the other messages. In Psalm 20, we learn to call out to God in our distress. We also learn that we are pilgrims on a journey. This home is not our eternal home. In Psalm 121, we learn to sing, "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." We are reminded that our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God watches over us and will not let our foot slip, and godly daily watches over our coming out and our going in, both now and forevermore. We looked at Psalm 125, and the psalmist says, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. And as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore." We may be surrounded by this outbreak of a pandemic called coronavirus. Psalm 125 is telling us to trust in the Lord because we will not be shaken. Today, I would like for us to look at the Psalm called 126, Psalm 126. It was written after the Israelites returned from their captivity in Babylon. This psalm is the fulfillment of the promise of Jeremiah 29. Listen to this psalm of joy. Turn to your Bibles, if you have a Bible, to Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. We are going to find ourselves in this psalm today. The world has been taken captive by a pandemic. The Israelites had been in captivity for 70 years. They longed to be home. We can identify with longing for the way things used to be. The Israelites had heard over and over the prophecies and promises of Jeremiah. They believed God had plans for them. They knew being held captive was not the plan forever. Psalm 126 is a song of joy and remembrance. The people sang this song and declared joy and laughter because God had brought them out of captivity. Listen again to these words. The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us and has filled us with joy. You're listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship in Rancho Cucamonga. We're praying for you during this time of pandemic. We're praying that the Holy Spirit will come and comfort you and give you His peace. We're looking at Psalm 126, and I just read a couple verses that said, the Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Can you imagine how they sang these songs despite their circumstances? They were under the oppressive hand of the Romans. They cried and sang. They asked God to restore their fortunes. They felt like a dried up wasteland or a desert. Yet in this psalm, they are begging God to bring streams of living water to restore their souls. We are like those who sow in tears, but we wait upon the promises of God. We will reap with the songs of joy. There is a great principle here for us. We may be in captivity. We may be in lockdown. We may be in stay away. We may be weeping. We may be carrying seed to sow, but one day we will return with songs of joy. We must trust that the Maker of heaven and earth will see us through to a better day. For God knows the plans that He has for us. You may or may not know that each year my wife and I pick a word of intention. We pray about it. We read scripture. We ask the Holy Spirit to impress upon our hearts a word that we're to carry with us throughout the year. My word was here, H-E-A-R, here. And my wife, Jack, I call her Jack, Jacqueline, Jack's word was wait. I'm listening. Jack is waiting. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. Going back to the Matthew passage, did you hear about the report taken 10 years after Jesus' death and resurrection? There were 260,000 lambs slain on that Passover night. The law required one lamb for every 10 individuals. This translates into over 2.6 million worshipers in Jerusalem that week. 10 years earlier, when Jesus was entering Jerusalem, there were over 2 million worshipers in Jerusalem. Can you imagine such a crowd? Now imagine Jesus riding into town on a donkey. The crowd starts shouting. The actual Greek word literally means that the crowd is screaming and crying. It is also an imperfect active verb, and that means that the crowd was screaming continually. Picture it. 2 million people are in your hometown. Let's just say 10% are lining the streets. 200,000 people are screaming, shouting, and crying out, Hosanna! to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. The Rose Bowl Stadium holds about 92,500 people, double that. Folks, these people are shouting not for the Bruins or the Trojans or your favorite team that could be playing there. They are screaming at the top of their lungs and at the bottom of their toes, and they're crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna is a Hebrew word that means save us, we pray, or save us, we beseech you. It is a form of praise. I imagine the USA crowd at the Olympics shouting USA, USA, as they cheer on their favorite Olympian. Save us, Jesus. Save us, we pray. Save us. They tore off the palm branches from trees. They waved them as they screamed, kind of like when the crowd would wave Old Glory at an Olympic event. Are you following the pandemonium that was happening in Jerusalem on that day? Not only were they waving palms, but they were throwing their cloaks on the street, a sign of submission. So what? Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Save us. Save us, we beseech you, Lord. Jesus, we remember the great things you have done. Many of you know that last month I sat with my wife and father-in-law at the bedside of my mother-in-law as she was dying of cancer. My mom, I call her Mom, died peacefully after a brief battle. During the final weeks of her life, Mom had been asking Jack for a verse. O death, where is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? Mom was excited to go to heaven. She wanted to be with Jesus. Mom asked for that verse all day long. It brought her much comfort as she faced her final days. Let me read part of that from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 53 through 57. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 53 through 57. I flew in 3 days before Mom passed. She was unconscious most of the time. I love the hospice nurses and all the hospice workers. They're so kind and caring. They were able to let us know when Mom was approaching her final moments. My wife and I sat at Mom's bedside and read scripture to her and played her favorite songs for her. My wife, Jack, and I prayed for her. Jack asked me to recite 1 Corinthians 15. And as I did, Mom heard me. And as I finished quoting the verse, where, O death, is your sting? Where is the power of your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As I read those passages, Mom lifted her head, placed it squarely on the pillow, and she smiled. She was gone the next second. Mom had the victory. I will never forget the smile that lit up her face and lit up the room. I don't know where you are. I don't know the captivity that it has a hold of each one of us. We all have a COVID-19 story to share. Here's what I do know. Here's our lesson for today. Jesus brings us hope in the midst of our helplessness. We serve a God who knows us. God knows our past, God knows our present, and God knows our future. The Lord has need of us. Trust Him. Listen, I don't know where you're at. I don't know your fear, your anxiety, your pain, your troubles, but I know that God knows you and He knows where you're at. He'll meet you in your hopelessness and bring you hope. Number two, God will fulfill His promises for us. And I love Jeremiah 29. It says, God knows the plans He has for us. Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. But I love verse 12. When you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Friends, God is not going to play hide and seek. Seek him today with all of your heart. He says, I will bring you back from captivity. I'll bring you out of your lockdown. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I banish you, declares the Lord, and I'll bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And third, I would say in the midst of turmoil, God promises to bring us a triumph. We may be sowing in tears, but we are promised joy. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. They who go out weeping will return with songs of joy. We stare ahead at the peak of a bell curve. There are some dire predictions out there. Last night, mom and dad's neighbor right here, I'm in the Villages in Florida. Mom and dad's neighbor, Carol, died of COVID-19. From the backyard, we heard her only daughter weeping and wailing. I knocked on her door and gave her words of hope. I gave her 1 Corinthians 15. I told her about Psalm 23. I told her that her mom's last breath on earth was she was present with Christ in heaven, 2 Corinthians 5:8. I prayed for her and her husband, and I kept my social distance, but I couldn't just stand outside in the backyard and listen to her cry. We had just gone through this. Carol, our neighbor, had just come over to visit mom. She sent cards. She brought banana bread. She knew Jesus, and she made sure that my mom knew Jesus too. Carol had no idea that her going out and her coming in was only weeks away. You see, that's my job. I want you to know that the peace and the forgiveness of Jesus. I want you to know the power and comfort of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know the love and mercy of God our Father. Promise me one thing as we travel through this next few weeks. Join with the crowd that would sing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Jesus, save me. Let's throw our cloaks down in submission. Because we don't have the answers to this pandemic, but we know the one who does. Let us lift our eyes to the maker of heaven and earth, for he knows our going out and our coming in. Even if we go out with sowing in tears, we can reap with songs of joy. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks for your grace, which is sufficient, your grace that is sufficient even in our weakness. For when we are weak, you are strong. Lord, we pray for those that are alone, those that are truly lonely. We pray that you would minister your grace to them during this time. We pray that you would meet all of those that are surrounded by fear in this pandemic and give them your peace, not as the world gives, but the peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name. My prayer for you this week as you go out, and really as you stay home, is that you'll know that God knows where you're at. God knows what you need. And he will be with you. He was with you in the past. He'll be with you in this present. And he will be with you in the future. Seek him with all of your heart. And he will be found by you. God bless and have a blessed day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you always and give you his peace. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers, growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week, and remember, God loves you. and so do we.